Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role in this transformative era.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, how did I even get here? Like, events are unfolding in front of your face, and it's surreal. It's almost like you're in a movie, and it's dumbfounding. Well, that's what was happening to me. This was the bottom of my life. My wife, still married, was exploding, right? Hurricane Marlo is not fun. She's counting on her fingers. We're having the fight of our lives. And just moments before that, she had, if you can believe this, thrown her purse at me. Not once, not twice, but three times. And it's a big purse. Like, what? Why are women's purses so big? But anyway, she threw it. I was never in any real danger because her hand-eye coordination is pretty pathetic. But she's irritated. And why is she mad? And why all the expletives and the explosion? Well, she's irritated because she walked into a marriage. We're newly married, and she wasn't given the full story. Right? We met in our financial services business. I was having a little bit of success. I was recently divorced, and I was winning trophies and had a lot of stage time, and I can talk a little bit, and I got a CPA background, a financial services background, so I kind of looked smart. And, she fell in love with that whole picture. But what she didn't know was the financial crap show that was my life. I gotten divorced. I basically laid down the divorce because I felt so guilty about everything that happened. Had to pay her half of my business. I agreed to pay her $5,200 a month in alimony and child support payments. I'm a financial services entrepreneur. We're in the Great Recession. I signed a 5.5-year, 6,000 square foot office lease based on the worst financial advice I've ever gotten in my life from a mentor. He said, oh yeah, just sign that lease because, Chris, if you build it, they will come. Don't ever sign an office lease on if you build it, they will come. Because they didn't come. And I'm paying basically 4 or 5 mortgage payments out. I let Marlo in on the secret 6 months before she took control of our financial situation. But she's mad because my back is against the wall. I was using credit card checks to pay our bills. I did one of the biggest sins in business. I stopped doing the things that initially got me my success. And so I was in front of her asking for money, right? Because my wife, good with money, right? She had savings separate from our marriage because she knew not to commingle money with a broke dude. And I had to ask my wife for her money to pay my ex-wife. That's right. Not sure that's ever happened in the history of mankind. And it didn't go well. And as she's sitting in front of me going, how can this be? How can you be a CPA and a financial advisor? How can we be $250,000 in credit card? How is this possible? And I was like, well, if it's so bad, why are we still married? And she stared at me. And then she went upstairs the rest of the night to answer the question, should she stay or should she go? And there I was, alone. And all I really could see were just dominoes falling in my life. The first domino was my ex-wife. I blamed her for everything. But in that moment, I realized that she never had a chance. And she never had a chance because I expected that marriage to fail. And one of the principles I hold dear to my heart, my coach used to ask me all the time, you don't get what you hope for, you get what you expect. And most people hope positive, but they expect negative. And it's just a question I ask myself all the time. And as I'm setting goals, and I'm reviewing my past. Chris, what were you really expecting? And just a great question to ask yourself, what are you expecting in your heart of hearts? Because you get what you expect financially, relationships, health, those things, and that marriage was failing, and it was about to lead to the second failure of a marriage. My little kids were in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in Colorado. I'm too broke to see them. Whose dad is, or where's dad's turning into whose dad? I'm drinking too much. I'm a mess. The financial stress is impacting my wife in tremendous ways physically. And I just realized, I'm like, the common theme to the mess was me. I was the common theme. I was the common denominator, all my problems. Because you ever realize that wherever you've had a problem, you've always been there? And I just realized I had to quit living in hopium, which is where most people live. They're hoping that the outside world will change while they fiercely insist on remaining the same. And I call that rearranging the furniture on the deck of the Titanic. It does not matter what you do to that damn deck furniture, the boat's going down. I'm like, I got to wake up. I got to change. I got to quit playing victim. And it was the first time in my life I took 100% responsibility for the mess that was my life. And we came together the next day, Marlo and I, and she decided to keep me, thank God, because nothing happens without her. And to her immense credit, in her time of immense stress and strain, it would have been so easy for her to focus on the mess that was me, but she focused on what she loved about me. And she didn't want to live without those things. And she also broke my self-sabotaging relationship pattern, where once we'd hit a little roadblock or have some adversity, I'd focus on the negative. And I'm like, well, I'll just exit and go out there because there's some unicorn relationship that won't require any effort. No, she got me to start focusing on what I loved about her. And the preeminent law in growth and development is called the law of growth. All things point to the law of growth. And the law of growth is what you focus on expands. And when I work with couples and they're having challenges, it's pretty easy. What are you focusing on in the other? And usually it's bad. It's negative. So stay together, right? She's like, we're not declaring bankruptcy. We're not getting divorced. We're not getting jobs. We're going to figure this out. We had access to wealthy mentors. She's like, I'm going to go interview them. I'm going to figure out what they do. And then she was kind of like, what are you going to do? You. I'm like, I'm going to figure out how this keeps creating broke. And I'm not interested in changing. I'm committed. And she's like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, most people are interested. I'd been interested in financial success up until that point. And the problem is when you hit a little bit of resistance and you're only interested, you'll exit, you'll take a chicken exit, and you'll keep looking for the easy route. And one of the things in our society that's a virus, and social media exacerbates it, is the belief that you can get something for nothing. And you can't, because how you develop the muscle, if you're lifting weights, it's when you get the resistance. And I'm like, I'm committed. And she's like, what do you mean by committed? Committed, I mean, like, you know how an Olympic athlete treats their sport? That's going to be me. I'm all in. And I'm still psycho about it because I haven't arrived. And one of my favorite quotes in my book is, we're a miracle and a mess at the same time. And so I just said, hey, I'm up every day, right? 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m., and I'm going to figure out my money beliefs. I'm going to visualize, image, read everything I can, journal. If you tell me to stand on my head for an hour, it was going to change my life. I was going to do it. I was all in, committed. And I'm going to take one belief out, and I'm going to replace it with one that's going to empower our financial situation. And my coach said, Chris, what's more important, the golf club or the golf swing? Everybody's looking for the golf club, but the golf swing is it. And that is your belief around money. And when I made that decision that I was going to change my financial belief system, I was going to change my broke mindset, because why are there so many talented broke people in the United States today? Because they have a broke mindset and they don't do the work to upgrade their mindset. And I read a quote by Billy Graham. He said, once you get your attitude straight around money, it helps straighten out every area of your life. And how powerful is that? So it didn't happen overnight, but it happened over time. And that work, combined with me and my wife coming together, created a jaw-dropping financial transformation. We went from broken stock to becoming seven-figure entrepreneurs in our financial services firm. We moved into the top quarter of 1%. out of 60,000 agents, and I'm not saying that to brag. I just, you know, usually when people are speaking, I want to hear they're getting results, especially on this topic. And what we did, and then I hired a coach for 4.5 years who was financially independent. Everybody wanted to coach me, but they were as broke as me. And my thought is, if you're not living the results, why should I be coached by you? And so we worked together for 4.5 years, and he recommended that, you know, me and my wife get clear on what we wanted, right? And I talk a lot about this. It's a much deeper talk, but most people have no clue what they want. They can't articulate what their chief aim is. They can't get it out in 90 seconds or less. They can't connect their compelling emotional reasons. And so Marlo and I sat down. If you want to change your life, you schedule it. And we set a unifying couple's goal. Most couples don't have unifying goals, especially financial goals. And I asked her, like, what do you want? And quickly, she's like, I want $100,000 in the bank. I was like, ook. Like, for a guy, it's $250,000 in credit card debt and has never had the capacity to save and keep money saved. That was literally like asking me to climb Mount Everest with one step. And my coach said, dude, don't try to spreadsheet it out. Don't get all dorky with her, right? Don't get your left brain in there. Chris, people that struggle, okay, they think goal setting's logical. High performers and world-class players know that goal setting's emotional. You guys have to get the emotional reasons involved in this goal, or it's just not going to work. And when I talk to entrepreneurs, they can have an entrepreneurial vehicle like a Ferrari, and the Ferrari's awesome. And if I'm trying to go from Denver to Aspen in my Ferrari and it's got no gas in it, that car's worthless. And so you got to put the fuel into the tank. And the fuel is your reasons of why you want to go to that next level. And I said, okay, you want $100,000 saved? I'm like, why? She's like, I can't handle the financial stress anymore. It's like physically impacting me. Like, that freaked me out that, like, I wasn't delivering and my wife is experiencing health issues because of the financial stress. My parents died broke. I think they died of financial stress. She's like, how about you? I'm like, I don't want to fight with you around money ever again. I got to see my kids. They're little, right? They don't know who I am. And I said, I think we're getting handed something that we're supposed to overcome and go teach a bunch of people. That's just my gut. And so we got juiced and gas on that goal. It's the greatest goal we've set. We still set goals the same way. And we had an accountability every week. And it was just, hey, did we move even a dollar closer? And if we moved a dollar away, we adjusted it. We were all in on the goal. And so you got to know what you want. If you're exiting, right, this talk and you don't know what you want, you got to schedule time and figure it out because it's so easy to just blow it off. So I started working with my coach. And the goal was to get $100,000 saved. I was making about 200. I was spending about 500. I'm like, I got to get to 500 just to break even. He said, yeah, that's great. He said, but we got to work on your money belief system. And you got to do a little work on it every single day. Can't wait till you're fixed, so to speak. Set that aside. And then you got to execute your plan whether you're ready or not. But you got to work on your belief systems. Like, how do I shift my money belief system? He's like, you have to understand, what is your relationship with that word money? And he said, Chris, here's what you got to get. You no longer have a money problem. You have a money project. That phrase changed my life. You no longer have a problem. You know, you have a project. You don't have a health problem. You have a health project. You don't have a sales problem. You have a sales project. And the reason is we view problems as like, yeah, victim. Oh my God, it's a problem. I'm powerless. I can't do anything about it. I mean problems stay in our lives forever, but projects are different, right? Projects, we're going to see it all the way through. I got a friend who's less handy than me, which is pretty pathetic. And years ago, he's like, I'm going to build a deck for my family. And he's like, I want to be outside with my family. I want to barbecue. I want to have gatherings. Like, he had a clear image of what he wanted, right? And he had emotion of what he wanted, right? Because everything we do in life, we're hoping to get a feeling. And so he had an image. And so he started, and he would build it, and it was bad. And then he would have to tear it down because it was unsafe. And, you know, we live in Colorado and it snows, and, you know, it just took him a long time, but there was no way. It wasn't a problem for him. It was a project. And he saw that project all the way through. And he was so proud. And so wherever you're having a challenge and you'd say, I don't have a problem, I have a project, it's a game changer. And so he's like, phase one of the project is, I want you to get a green money journal, and I want you to write down the word money, and I want you to write down everything that you make up about that word, because that's what we humans do. We make up stories. We're storytellers. And I sat there for an hour. I wrote the word money down. Hard to make, hard to keep. Most people that struggle around money, there's some hard story going on there. I got that from my dad. Rich people are crooks. They make money on the backs of poor people. Money, my mom said, you either have it or you don't. And so I listed all these reasons, and I'm like, huh, I finally met the enemy. It's me. It was like running a marathon with a 20-pound bowling ball tied around my ankle. But I wasn't defeated, because I've learned from my coaches and mentors that most of us get programmed around money from 0 to 4. We have no ability to accept or reject concepts. And Margaret Lynch, great author, wrote a book called Tapping into Wealth. She said the biggest determining factor of your financial success is the vows that you made to gain acceptance in your family at a young age. The biggest determining factor of your financial success is the vows that you made to gain acceptance in your family at a young age. Meaning, 0 to 4, we buy their stuff, good or bad, right or wrong, because we need to get their acceptance. And so, especially in the United States, most often that limiting belief around money, or the multiple limiting beliefs, get planted, and then they harden almost 100% by the time we're 18. And my coach also taught me that he's interviewed 1,300 self-made millionaires and billionaires. He's like, almost all of them had the same thing. They got programmed negatively around money, but at some point they said, time out, they called BS, and they decided to change their golf swing. I made that decision at 37. So it's possible, but if you don't do the work on it, it's not going to work. He's like, all right, what's the story you want? Making and saving big money is easy. If I'm making more money, I'm bringing more value, right? Money's a scorecard of value that I'm delivering in other people's lives. If I'm growing personally, so's my income, so's my money. One of my favorite affirmations that I got a whole story in my book around, I attract success, abundance, and peace into my life because that is who I am. I attract success, abundance, and peace into my life because that is who I am. He said, just do the work, man. Do the work. Affirm that story. Affirm that story. Every time your ego, right, your ego's not your amigo, wants you to go back to the old story. Just interrupt the pattern and start telling a new story, and it will change over time. So your homework assignment is to write down the word money and write down everything you make up about it. If you're struggling in sales, write that down. Wherever you're having a challenge, me plus a thought equals a result. If you don't like the result, there's you. Change the thinking. So that was huge. But as part of my transformation, I'm committed. I want to change. And I was in a networking group with some amazing people it was a mastermind group for years. And there was a coach in there. His name's Jonathan, and he was pretty interesting. I called him Yoda, and he calls himself the world's only cerebral sanitation engineer, right? He's here to get your head trash out. And I engaged him, and I said, hey, Jonathan, like, I need some help, man. I gotta get this 100,000 saved. I gotta double my income. My back is against the wall. My wife's got 1 foot out the door. Like, I need to figure this out. And he said, all right, well, we can do a 90-minute session. It's $350. And I was like, because I didn't have $350, right? But I scraped together the money. And we sat down for 90 minutes. And he was asking me questions, and I would answer his questions, and then he'd sit there, he'd go, I mean, he was like an energy healer. He worked with this like master in the jungles of Philippines, and it was kind of weird for a left brain CPA to watch a guy close his eyes and meditate on your answers. And we did this for 90 minutes, pretty uncomfortable. And we got to the end of the 90 minutes, and he said, what's your goal again? I'm like, dude, where have you freaking been? Like, I got to double my income. I got to save 100,000. He's like, oh, okay. Just every time you think about your goal, just say, what if I do that? I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, most people what if down their life, right? Like, what if the worst? If they, what if you what if up? Right? And what if? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, just say, what if I cash flow 500,000? What if I cash flow 500,000? What if I have $100,000 saved? Just do it hundreds of times a day, thousands of times a day, over and over and over and over again. And yeah, there you go. Pay me. I was like, what? What if? That's it? You're like a freaking fraud. Like, what are you talking? He's like, dude, here's the deal. You got your conscious mind, you got your subconscious mind. And if those aren't in alignment, it doesn't work, right? And everyone listening, consciously and subconsciously, you're really good at something. You don't fight yourself. Just like my ex-wife, she's a world-class mom. She's an unbelievable mom. Now, she doesn't get into this personal growth and development stuff, but consciously, she knows she's a great mom. Subconsciously, she knows she's a great mom. She's in alignment. She gets intuitive hits. She acts immediately. I never doubt her. She's never wrong. She's got what's called an internal mastermind. And you have to do the work if you want to master to do that, to impress on your subconscious mind, to have a routine, to visualize, to image, to affirm, to do all those things. He said, but if you say these statements, your subconscious is going to reject it almost immediately, but your subconscious cannot reject a what if statement. And if you just keep doing it and planting the seeds, eventually you will be like, I'm the type of person that does that. And then you be it, and the results show up. Just do it. It's so simple, you'll probably blow it off. I said, no way, brother. I'm on it. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if I do this? What if I'm financially independent? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Over and over and over and over and over again, because I'm not afraid to do the work. And eventually it happened. Eventually it came true. So take your number one goal and what if it? It's powerful. And so in closing, I think one of the challenges that we have is, are we going to do the work and is it not going to happen? Is the work going to be worth it? And I've had a lot of limiting beliefs over my life, but I always knew that it was going to be worth it. And where that belief came from was in college, I started the habit of asking successful people, was it worth it? I've asked hundreds of people that. And what's been amazing about asking that question is they were never confused by it, by what I was asking, and they always answered affirmatively that it was. Legally, ethically, morally, but the work they had to do was going to be worth it. And so I've done a good job over the years of taking mental pictures of results that have happened in my life, and I'm like, it was worth it, because when I want to go do the work and my ego is not my amigo and wants me to choose comfort, I'm like, no, it's worth it. And I was driving back with my boys. I had hit those goals. We just had an amazing weekend. It's Monday morning. Nobody's out. We're in the middle of Tennessee. And my oldest looks over at me. He's 10. He just has this permagrin on his face. And I looked at him and he said, you know what, Dad? Thanks. Thank you, and I love you. And in that moment, I'm like, I'm so happy I got the hell out of my own way and did what it took to create that memory. So it's worth it. Do the work.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.